Welcome to Power Play. I'm Evan Solomon. On the program today, an act of terrorism against Muslim Canadians, says the Prime Minister.
This killing was no accident. This was a terrorist attack motivated by hatred in the heart of one of our communities.
United in horror, gathering in grief, the Prime Minister and all the leaders of the opposition parties, the Premier of Ontario, community members, friends and mourners will all be gathering in 2 hours for a vigil in London, Ontario, for the family of four who were slain and the orphan boy who was left behind. But will there be a call to action against Islamophobia? What needs to happen now?
I feel relieved that I don't have to fight for it to be labeled terrorism, because every time there's been an attack against Muslims, knowing that globally Muslims are the greatest victims of terrorism, we're always perceived as terrorists. Lives were taken.
In moments, we'll bring you a few of the key people who will be speaking. This is Justin Trudeau. He's on his way right now there. But we will be speaking to some of the people speaking at the vigil tonight. The imam of the London mosque where the family attended, Imam Arij Anwar, will join us. He's one of the key organizers of the event tonight, knew the family very well. Yasmin Khan, longtime friend of the family. She's also speaking about her friends and the challenges a young woman, Muslim woman, faces today. She's speaking at the vigil. She will join us. And then, the United Political Voices today still cannot hide the divided issues of the past over the fight to end Islamophobia in Canada. Why, for example, has no federal leader taken a stronger stance against Quebec's controversial law that bars teachers, bus drivers, and police from wearing religious symbols? And what about a motion from 2017 that tried to condemn Islamophobia? Why was that so divisive then? We'll speak with Liberal MP Iqra Khalid. She brought forward that House motion to condemn Islamophobia back in 2017. She's attending the vigil tonight. Will she bring back that motion now? We'll also speak with the president of the Canadian Muslim Forum on the press gallery to discuss the current push against Quebec's controversial secularism law. All that plus vaccine passport rollout in Manitoba.
Because you have this card and because it's evidence that you've been vaccinated twice, you won't have to self-isolate as a result.
Manitoba announces vaccine passports. How will they work? When can the rest of the country and will they follow suit? We'll speak with the mayor of Winnipeg about this, Brian Bowman. This is Power Play. Let's get to the players. The country is mourning, but the city of London particularly is mourning the loss of the Afzal family. London police say a targeted attack left four members of that family dead and another, just a 9-year-old boy, in hospital. Three generations of one family. The Prime Minister, as you just saw, called this a terrorist attack. He and Canada's other party leaders are on their way right now to London. They will join the community gathering tonight at the mosque to remember the Afzal family killed on Sunday night. Police are investigating the hit and run as an alleged targeted attack of hate. They may pursue terrorism charges. This, of course, and sadly, is not the first hate-motivated attack in Canada. Far from it. Speaking to the House of Commons today, the party leaders all said the attack questions what country Canada is now and what country it must be in the future.
If anyone thinks racism and hatred don't exist in this country, I ask to them this. How do we explain such violence for that child in hospital?
It frustrates and indeed terrifies me that they have to live with the fear that this could have been them on a walk with their children.
Our Canada's a place where you can't walk down the streets if you wear a hijab because you will be killed. This is our Canada. We can't deny it. We can't reject that because it does no one any help.
Now, there's a lot of politicking going on, and it's important. And those words matter, and so does concrete action. But we can't lose sight of the family who were lost in this. And we are now going to share with you a picture of the Afzal family. Salman Afzal, his wife, Madia Salman, the 74-year-old mother, her mother, the couple's teenage daughter, Yumna, all killed, just 15, by the way. The 9-year-old boy, Fayez, their youngest, badly injured but remains in hospital. Apparently, he's recovering from those serious injuries. The family has been described by loved ones as gems in the community and good, kind people. Now, we are also learning more about the suspect, accused of intentionally running down and murdering those four family members. Now, we've thought about this, and we are going to share it briefly because it's part of the news as well, which is also our responsibility. CTV News has confirmed this picture of the suspect, 20-year-old Nathaniel Veltman from London, Ontario. Police arrested him shortly after the hit-and-run attack. He was taken into custody outside a local shopping mall. We're learning that he was part of a part-time employee at Grey Ridge Farms in Strathroy, Ontario. Strathroy is just outside of London. Police say, again, it was a targeted attack. Meantime, the Ontario Premier Doug Ford has provided an exemption to COVID-19 gathering rules for tonight's vigil for the family. He will be attending, as I said, alongside the other federal leaders. But besides words of support, which matter, let's not minimize that, what concrete action does the community need to see? How is the community feeling right now? So we'll begin our coverage tonight with the Imam of the London Muslim Mosque, Imam Araj Anwar, who I spoke to earlier today. He's speaking tonight. He's one of the organizers of the vigil. Imam Anwar, obviously we all express our collective condolences and sorrow for your community and for the family. Give us a sense of what you're hearing from your community right now.
Thank you for having me. The community is in a state of shock and grief. We're deeply hurt by what has happened to this beloved family. We are experiencing fear because what happened was done in broad daylight, cold-blooded, to a family that was out and about. We're also outraged because this is not the first time this has happened to us. In 2017, there was a Quebec City mosque shooting. There was a man that was stabbed in Toronto last year, also based on Islamophobic hate. And now here at home in London, we have this horrible, tragic incident that took place. All of these things we are outraged by, that they're happening too frequently. And nothing's been done about it.
You say nothing's been done about it. You will now be joined at this moment of grief and horror by every federal leader, by the premier of the province where you live. What needs to be done? What message will you send to them about this?
So the leaders joining us, our neighbors and our community expressing their solidarity with us, they're extending their compassion to us. All of this is part of the healing process. All of that is very, very much needed and very much appreciated. But what we need is policy, action at the level of the judiciary, so that someone who does this or wants to do this next time will have the consequences that are appropriate. And that should act as a deterrent for this kind of behavior.
But I mean, obviously, consequences are important, and the law, there is that on the judicial side. But what about preventative measures? I mean, you know, that's the other issue, to stop the Islamophobia before you have to get into the consequences. And then the victims pay that ultimate price. What needs to happen to combat Islamophobia, Imam?
Absolutely. We need to have, we need to educate each other. We need to educate our community. We need to make sure that Muslim voices get sufficient airtime so that our narratives are shared. When people know us, that by default will combat Islamophobia. We need, as a community, we need more compassion. You see behind me the amount of flowers that people have left, the amount of messages we got from our neighbors, from our friends here in London, expressing solidarity. All of that is part of the solution. Those are pieces of the puzzle to combat Islamophobia.
Just before I let you go, obviously you said people are scared, they're concerned, and yet you don't want to let these horrible events, you know, dictate your lives. Is there a concern about security? Do you have increased security around your mosque right now? Because you and I both know the sad truth is there can be, quote, copycat events like this, echo events that can also be devastating.
We do have extra security right now at the mosque. We have been very, very deeply supported by the London Police Services, who have been very, very supportive in bringing the patrol cars and providing officers on site for today's event. And actually before today's event, anytime something happens that could be a major security concern, they have been there warning us, supporting us. And that is something that we do as an institution to protect our congregants.
Just before I let you go, I know you're very busy with the community and for planning the vigil tonight. Can you tell us what message you'll be delivering tonight to the leaders and to your community?
My message is to the community that we need to heal. We need time to heal from this tragedy. And my message is take your time to heal, because no one should be rushed in this process. And my message to the leaders would be, join us in this grieving process, in this healing process. Your presence is a catalyst for our healing, but we look to you to do more.
Imam Araj Anwar, I thank you for taking the time at a very difficult moment to speak. We are with you and your community who are grieving and hurt so badly by this. We'll be watching tonight. Thank you so much. Appreciate it, sir.
Thank you for having me.
All right, as you just heard from Imam Anwar, the London community is preparing to mourn the family. The London police said, of course, this was a targeted attack, and you could see they're scared. There's heightened security there. But who were the people lost? Friends, neighbors, brothers, sisters, grandparents. This is a family. Our next guest counted that family as one of her closest friends over the past decade. And like so many, she's reeling, but she's also, like the imam, she's preparing to speak at the vigil tonight. What will she say? What will her message be tonight as she faces her community, the country, and the federal leaders? Let's find out. Joining me now is Yasmin Khan. She's a family friend, knows the family well, who were lost. She's also an activist against Islamophobia. She's in London now. She will be attending the vigil tonight. First of all, Yasmin, our condolences to you, and I know your family. You are close to the family who were murdered. How are you holding up? And it must have been a great shock, because for you, this was a very personal moment.
Yes, it feels very shocking still. I feel like I'm in a dream and I'm waiting to get out of it. I'm very tired, I'm not gonna lie. And we all are, and we're still shocked, but we are very happy with the support that we've gotten so far.
You know, the Prime Minister and all the leaders are going to be there, but we don't want the family, and I know they're worried about using their name too much right now, so we'll be careful to respect their privacy, even though it's been published. But I don't want them to get lost in this. You knew them well. Talk about the family, if you could. Tell us a bit about this wonderful family out for a walk on a Sunday night, and their lives were ended. What were they like?
They were amazing people. They were pure souls. They were the type of people that wouldn't even hurt an insect. They were always there for people. If you did wrong upon them, and the next day you needed help, they would be the first at your doorstep. They didn't deserve this, because they were amazing individuals. The grandmother that passed away, she was an artist. She loved to paint. She mm-hmm. loved to paint, and she had amazing art. Our sister who passed away, she could do everything. Her food was amazing. Her art was amazing. Her creativity, she was beyond this world. Mm. And then our brother, he was so involved in the community. He was always out there, and he was always running to prayer. He was always running to help the Muslim community to the best of his abilities. And then our little sister, she was the girl that would always greet you with a smile on her face. Mm. She was amazing. And then our little brother, he's such a kind soul. He has a big heart, and after what he's been through, he's very, very strong.
Yeah, I mean, you started talking about the little sister, 15, lost her
yes.
life, and the parents who were so accomplished, the mom studying for a PhD, great with their communities. Not that you know, as the imam had told me earlier in the day, it doesn't matter if you're good or bad. No one deserves to be killed mm-hmm. and slaughtered like this. But they were great people. People are concerned about the nine-year-old boy. Is he tell us the care that he will get now because he's orphaned?
Yes, so family is here, and we're all doing what we can to support him. And just to assure everyone, he's everyone's son now. We are going to make sure he is treated with beyond. We will do as much as we can, because that's what our sister and brother would have wanted.
Yes, but you're also an activist. This hatred, although it seems unimaginable, have you in your community and in your life, I know you're only in your early 20s, have you experienced hatred, ostracization, any of this kind of xenophobia and targeting that so tragically has led to this horrific murder?
Yes, I started wearing my hijab at 14 years old, and ever since then, it's been something normal for me now. To have people be uncomfortable with me, to have people speak to me rudely. There was one time where I was trying to get to work and I parked in the parking lot and I parked between two cars, and the one lady got out of her car and she started saying very mean things to me, and she was like, how dare you park beside my car? And I wanted to stand up for myself. I wanted to speak up, but I didn't have the time. I was going to miss my shift. So just to de-escalate the situation for myself, I parked somewhere else and I ran inside. Like that, after that day, it just I realized that, I guess this is going to be something. Unfortunately, this should be abnormal, but this is going to be something normal for me.
And now what? What's your message? I mean, you born in Canada, you chose to wear the hijab at 14. Exercising your religious freedom, which is what this country is all about. How do you feel now? Do you feel vulnerable? Do you feel scared?
Honestly, my dear sister, she was walking with pride and so much love for this. I'm going to walk every single day with so much pride and love for this. Mm-hmm. I'm not going to tell people that I have fear. I'm not going to tell people anything. Because the moment they know that we have fear, they're going to win. I'm not going to let anyone win. We're all going to stand together and we're going to move together, and we are going to be a community. We're going to show people that we are humanity.
And you said that to me, you and I spoke earlier.
Yes.
And you said part of your message to people is like, why am I targeted? Because I'm wearing a hijab. Mm-hmm.
Yes.
What is your message about your humanity that you speak so beautifully about?
All I want to say is that I have blood inside of me. I have a heart. I have a brain. I'm doing my best to get educated. I have eyes too. I have hands. I have everything as you. I'm not different than you. I'm a human being, and I'm not some alien. And that's all I want to be recognized as. I want to be a human being. I want everyone to know that I am your sister, and all I want is support. And I want everyone to hold my hand and let's move together and let's just be human.
The fact that you at 22 have to say, I'm not an alien, of course you're not, you're a human being. Will you be speaking tonight at the vigil?
Yes, I will be speaking.
And your words?
My words are the same. For we are all human, and we are all going to be walking together from now on. I hope so. I hope the media realizes that just because something bad happens, we don't get the attention then. We need to have the attention constantly. We need to be checked on and asked how are we doing. This is not a one-time thing. And I'm going to ask everyone that to recognize that, you know, this is something amazing, and I want everyone's support to wear this. I don't want people telling me to take it off.
Yasmeen Khan, family friend, activist against Islamophobia. You're in London. You'll be speaking. We'll be watching at the vigil tonight. Our deepest condolences. Thank you for being here. Appreciate it very much.
Thank you, Evan. Thank you so much.
What a powerful speaker. CTV News Channel will have live special coverage of the vigil for the victims tonight in London, Ontario. Coverage begins at 7 p.m. Eastern on CTV News Channel and on ctvnews.ca. Coming up, Canada grapples with this devastating impact of this crime and of hatred.
It really had the effect of bringing what we think happens there, here.
What concrete steps of action will be taken to combat Islamophobia? We continue our coverage with CTV's Omar Sajidina. He joins us from the mosque in London that will host the vigil later tonight. Lots to come. Stay with us.
This is nothing short than a terrorist attack on innocent people based on their faith and their religion. And there's no place for that in Ontario. We're a community that sticks together, and we will be united behind the Muslim community.
That's Ontario Premier Doug Ford. He will, of course, attend tonight's vigil as London's Muslim community. In fact, the whole community comes together to mourn the Afzal family. The federal party leaders will also be in attendance. Moments ago, we just saw Prime Minister Justin Trudeau. This is a picture of it boarding that government jet to head to London, Ontario tonight. He will actually be joined on that plane by the leader of the Conservative Party, Aaron O'Toole. Jagmeet Singh will be also heading there, the leader of the NDP, but separately. Green Party leader, Annamie Paul will also be heading there separately. CTV's Omar Sajidina is right now outside the London Mosque, where tonight's vigil will take place in just about an hour and a bit. Omar, I can see the crowd behind you. Give us a sense of what you're hearing as you speak to people who are preparing for this, both a moment of grief, but I imagine also a moment for a call to action.
Absolutely. And let's just start with the moment of grief there, Evan. You know, this is a community that is very much reeling, and there is that anger. But one of the things that has struck me is the compassion and the grace and the understanding with which the community has come together. You know, there are people of all stripes here showing up for one another. There are chalk paintings saying love, not hate. There are people that really want to show up and really make sure that the Muslim community especially knows that one act of hate will not be victorious, that there is a chorus of tolerance that will drown out that act of hate that happened here, of course, on Sunday night. And the other thing that I just keep going back to is this 9-year-old boy. You can't forget that this was a devastating act that has left a 9-year-old boy without any family. You know, these are the only people in his life that he's likely ever known, and he doesn't have that anymore. And you can only imagine what that must be like for that child. And even as he survives, he will have the trauma of this weighing down on him for the rest of his life, Evan. You can't even imagine.
Yeah, he's orphaned. He's not alone, because as we've talked to community members, they're there, but as you say, without his family. What about that sense of being targeted? And that we just spoke to the imam where you are. You said people are afraid. What are you hearing about that, both the call to action and frankly, the sense of vulnerability?
Yeah, look, I think one of the reasons why so many, this is shock, just not just London, but the entire country, is because what happened here on Sunday evening was an assault on everything Canadians hold dear: inclusion, diversity, multiculturalism, tolerance. I mean, this was an attack on all of that. And the idea that somebody could, through one act, sort of shake all that up is something that people almost can't believe. But at the same time, what I've also been hearing, Evan, is that this is also a reality of this country. You know, despite all of these great values that we have, there is a dark underbelly in this country that needs to be talked about, that needs to be confronted, that these conversations need to happen. And the National Council of Canadian Muslims, one of the things that they have been calling on is to have a summit of leaders to tackle things like Islamophobia, to have these frank conversations, to make sure that there is some kind of progress, because this, of course, isn't an isolated incident in this country, and you have to be able to increase the dialogue to make sure that these types of heinous acts don't happen again.
Just before I let you go, Omar, the federal leaders are obviously they're arriving. We just said Mr. O'Toole, Mr. Trudeau are on their way, as Mr. Singh and Amy Paul are. What are you watching for from their presence tonight?
Look, I think it's very important on a day like today for leaders of all stripes to come together and have that expression of solidarity. And I think the fact that they're coming here will be a powerful statement in itself. But look, the work doesn't stop after today. We have a conversation in this country about things like Bill 21. We also know that Liberal MP Iqra Khalid, back in 2017, she introduced a motion in Parliament against Islamophobia, which actually failed in Parliament. And so the work of building bridges, of making sure this country comes together, of making sure the hate that exists in this country is addressed and hopefully eradicated, that will very much continue. And so it will not just be important for the politicians to walk the walk today, but long after today, because that is when the hard work will continue.
Yeah, I should just tell you later in our show, Iqra Khalid, who is going to be at the attendance, who tabled that motion 103 on Islamophobia, will join us to talk about just that. Omar Sachedino, we'll see you tonight with Lisa on the national news, but also obviously throughout this vigil. Thanks, Omar. We really appreciate it. Omar Sachedino in London. Thanks.
Thanks, Evan.
Today, leaders were united in their condemnation of the targeted attack on a Muslim family. Prime Minister Justin Trudeau, as we said, has called the killing of the Afzal family a terrorist attack. Strong language, considering, as Omar just rightly mentioned, that in 2017 the House was divided on a motion calling for the condemnation of Islamophobia and religious discrimination. Now, actually, the House actually passed that motion 103, 201 to 91. At the time, all Liberals, NDP, Greens, and the Independent MPs voted in favor of M103, alongside just two Conservatives. Before he was party leader, Aaron O'Toole voted against the motion and even wrote an op-ed in the Toronto Sun saying why he opposed it. So has anything changed since 2017? And what needs to happen now on other files? Let's find out. Joining me now is the Liberal MP from Mississauga, Erin Mills, Iqra Khalid. She's also the chair of the Standing Committee on Human Rights. And in 2017, she introduced what was then a very controversial motion called 103 on Islamophobia. First of all, I want to thank you for being here. This is a very difficult day. I know you're on your way to the vigil tonight in London, Ontario, to show solidarity with the community. Islamophobia is something you've talked about for a long time, Ms. Khalid. When you heard the news that this family was targeted because they were Muslim, and the Prime Minister's called it a terrorist act, I imagine you were shaken. What was your reaction?
It was obviously of devastation. And I didn't sleep last night, if I'm being honest, thinking about that 9-year-old boy who's lost everything in his life because of this act of hatred, this act of terror against this family that is so much like many other families that I know. My own family is like this as well. So I can tell you that it is a very heart-wrenching day for myself, but I will also say that it's not shocking, because in 2017, as you mentioned, this is something that we have talked about as Canadians over these past number of years, and something that we've been trying to combat as a government over these past number of years.
Let's go back then. The horrific massacre at the mosque in Quebec City. Then you have something called Motion 103, which is on Islamophobia. To reread it now, it doesn't, you might not think it was controversial. It was very controversial at the time. Just remind people, what was the reaction when you asked the House to support this motion that was condemning not only Islamophobia, but hate in all contexts? What was the reaction?
Well, this motion was based on about 70,000 Canadians telling us that Islamophobia was a real issue and that they wanted our government to combat it, to deal with it. And the motion itself spoke about how we need to come together and build that whole of government approach to combat it. And, I was elected in 2015, and I have a very, very diverse riding. A lot of my young Muslim women volunteers wear the hijab, and over these past number of years, they've been sharing their stories, and those stories are heart-wrenching, and M103 was really about targeting what these young people, what Canadians are feeling from coast to coast all across our country. And it's absolutely not controversial now that we look into it. But at that time, I can tell you the amount of hate that I received, the way that that we had to fight to ensure that human rights, that the right to equality, regardless of what faith you practice, what you wear as religious garb, what that meant during those times, and you know, standing here today, and having faced yet again another instance of Islamophobia, really has me quite devastated, Evan.
I should remind people back then that I think all but two conservative MPs voted against your bill, as you know, and by the way, including Aaron O'Toole, who will be there tonight. Would you now, in the wake of this latest mass murder, will you reintroduce that bill, that motion?
I think that the work that we need to do together collectively as a federal government, as provincial governments, as all levels of government, civil society, grassroots organizations, and just as importantly, individual Canadians, to really address that hatred, to address Islamophobia, to address all forms of systemic racism and religious discrimination, it needs to be amplified now. And I implore all political parties, I implore all levels of government, let's start working together. Let's really do it for the people that are impacted the most on this.
Now, you know that when Quebec passed something known as Bill 21, the secularization law, which would mean that people who are employed by the public sector, bus drivers, police officers, teachers, could not wear any religious symbols, crosses, yarmulkes, hijabs. Many believed it targeted all visible minorities and people who express their religious beliefs, but particularly Muslims who wear the hijab. But no federal leader, including the Prime Minister, your own leader, has really pressed back on Quebec on that. It's very popular in Quebec, obviously. But why not? How, on one hand, can your government say we need to stand up and we need to support this and support your motion, and then when a law actually infringes upon the very thing that this family was targeted for, their dress, how they wear, won't stand up for a teacher or a bus driver to wear that very same thing? How do we, is that a double standard?
Look, Evan, I've been quite clear since day one on Bill 21. I absolutely oppose identity politics, and I can say with confidence that Bill 21 is about identity, and identity is the very reason why this family lost their lives in London, Ontario. Identity is the very reason why the Quebec mosque shooting happened. Identity is the reason why mosques have been vandalized. And so I will continue to stand firmly against.
But what about your leader? Like, I'm just asking you, and I appreciate you have, and I know, and that's why I'm asking you. But the Prime Minister has not said those things. He has not taken formal action. There's no constitutional challenge on this. And I get the politics of this. But if you're right, and this is about identity and lives, aren't you pressing Prime Minister Trudeau to actually take the same stance you are? Because he hasn't.
Well, you know, since I've introduced M103, and over these past number of years, our Prime Minister has really stood shoulder to shoulder with me. And he has talked about Bill 21, and he has talked about where our government's position is on this. And as the matter goes through the courts, I know that I will continue to speak out, and I know that our government will also continue to ensure that Canadians feel safe in their homes, and that they feel secure within their identities, whether it's about Bill 21 or any other issue from coast to coast in our country.
I have to leave it here. I know you're going to the vigil. We will be watching tonight. The country is united against this kind of horrific violence. Thank you so much. Appreciate it.
Thank you very much.
We'll continue more coverage of this issue, but coming up next, fully vaccinated Manitobans can now order a little card that will exempt them from travel quarantine rules. Are vaccine passports finally here? Will Manitobans get on board? The Winnipeg Mayor Brian Bowman is next. Stay with us.
You will be exempt from the self-isolating requirements if you're deemed a close contact by public health. In other words, if you get a call from public health notifying you've been in close contact with someone who's had COVID, because you have this card and because it's evidence that you've been vaccinated twice, you won't have to self-isolate as a result.
So that's the Premier of Manitoba, Brian Pallister, and Manitoba's paving the way in providing its residents with their version of essentially the vaccine passport. The Premier unveiled, as you just saw, the details of this immunization card for fully vaccinated residents. People with these cards will be able to travel within Canada without the province's mandatory quarantine requirements. How's it going to work? Who else is going to follow? This is the province with the highest per capita COVID-19 cases. Is it getting ahead of itself? I'm going to bring in the mayor of Winnipeg, Brian Bowman. Sir, great to have you on the program. I know it's a sorrowful day in Canada and on what seems like a different universe. I'm sorry about the Jets getting swept by the Habs, even though I'm a Habs fan. That's a great team he got in Winnipeg. What do you make of today's vaccine passport announcement and how people will accept this?
Yeah, and thanks for the introduction. I just want to give a shout out to everybody in London and Muslims across Canada right now. We're with them. In terms of the vaccine passport announcement today, I think most Manitobans and Winnipeggers will celebrate the opportunity to travel without the 14-day isolation requirement. But obviously, a lot of questions about how this is actually going to roll out.
Yeah, how will it roll out? What are your concerns about that?
Yeah, I mean, look, in my previous career, I was the lead for the Canadian Bar Association's National Privacy Law section. So I spent a lot of time in my previous career looking at anytime you're collecting anyone's personal health information. And so, I mean, obviously, when you're talking about a passport, that is going to gain you access to, in this case, other provinces and benefits. But it also can restrict access. And so, what we haven't heard from the provincial government today are the collections, uses, and disclosures of personal health information via this passport, are they limited to specified purposes? And so are there going to be any restrictions on its use by the private sector, the public sector, like other levels of government? Will there be a time limit? Understand, and I think most people appreciate we're in a crisis right now, but can they specify when, or even have a sunset provision on when the need for a passport will end? So these and other questions I know we'll be raising with provincial officials. We learned today when the Premier was providing his press conference that this would be introduced at this time.
Oh, you learned today because you've been on the show a couple of weeks ago. You were critical of Premier Pallister's not only response, but you said you struggled to get meetings with him. So even you, as the mayor of the biggest city in the province, you had no idea these passports were coming, these cards?
We knew that they were considering. I've certainly voiced concern about just how they're implemented. I mean, I've got my vaccine. I'm going to be getting my second one. I'm signed up, and I'm encouraging Winnipeggers to get their vaccines. And I think vaccine passports can play a positive role going forward. But the homework has to be done by the governments that are introducing them. Obviously, when you think about restricting people's access to certain services, if in fact that's something that could play out, you want to make sure that you've done your due diligence. I know the privacy commissioners across Canada had called on governments to work proactively with commissioners. I'm not sure if the Manitoba government has worked proactively with our ombudsman to ensure that the privacy protections are built in by design. And so it's really making sure that those unintended consequences in society don't happen when you're granting or not granting access via passport to certain locations. And of course, questions are,
you know, is this only going to be used for the purposes that were announced today? Or could these be used? Are there going to be restrictions on their use by municipal governments, by private sector, not-for-profit, that sort of thing?
Yeah, and as you say, key issues like the sunset provisions, reviews on that, where else will this, you know, who else has access to the data, especially when you're crossing borders? Do other countries have this data? So lots of privacy concerns about this. Nonetheless, seems like it's coming, and certainly in your province. The mayor of Winnipeg, Brian Bowman, mayor, always a pleasure. Really interesting comments. Thank you, sir.
Yeah, thanks, Evan. Take care.
Yeah, you too. And I just want to reiterate the mayor of Winnipeg sending out his condolences, obviously, to the people in London, Ontario, and to Muslim Canadians across the country. Coming up, how does Canada confront and stamp out Islamophobia? The press gallery is here. Our special guest will be the president of the Canadian Muslim Forum. Stay with us. Power Play's back in just a minute. A community is coming together to mourn the devastating impacts of hate, but the aftershocks are rippling across the nation. Obviously, what is happening tonight in London, Ontario, all the political leaders will be there, the federal leaders, the provincial leaders, members of the community, not only to remember the family that was murdered, 4 out of the 5, leaving a 9-year-old orphaned. But what about the politics of Islamophobia? It has been very divisive in this country, despite the words of Union Tonight. The press gallery is here to debate that. Stephanie Levitz, Parliament Hill reporter for the Toronto Star. Ian Bailey, reporter with the Globe and Mail, now in Ottawa. He writes the Daily Politics briefing. We'll be joined by our special guest next in a minute. But Steph Levitz, obviously, all the leaders united, they're joining in the condemnation of Islamophobia tonight. But wouldn't it be, how have the politics of Islamophobia, they've been very divisive in the past. Bill 21, you think about that in Quebec, the motion 103 on Islamophobia. How has that played out? What does that tell you?
We watched the 3 federal leaders rise in the House of Commons today, all federal leaders, not just the Liberals, the Conservatives, and the NDP. They all rose in the House today. They gave various iterations of a similar speech. You know, this inflammatory rhetoric, this pitting of sides against each other, this need to be divisive, it must stop. But it was the NDP's Jagmeet Singh who perhaps said it more clearly about how politicians have to stop using it to score political points. And I think his point is very well taken, because he's casting aspersions not just at the right in this country, but also the left, who have used the issue of Islamophobia to rile up critics, to paint, you know, each other as this, that, or the other thing. And it is highly divisive. And it filters, as all leaders said, it filters into the discourse. They might claim that it doesn't, but it does.
Ian Bailey, weigh in on that. I mean, Jagmeet Singh had powerful words. So did Erin O'Toole. So did Justin Trudeau and Annamie Paul. But, I mean, a lot of folks are wondering. They certainly didn't say much about Bill 21 in Quebec, when the Quebec government, I know it's popular there, banned any religious symbols from being worn. And many people viewed that as a direct attack, not just on religious symbols, but on Muslims.
And even today, the Prime Minister did speak to Bill 21, but in a very cautious, very careful way, perhaps mindful of an eventual election sometime this year. You know, there may be division, but there's also obviously the tragedy in London, Ontario. And the country is reeling from that. You know, there will be programs coming from the government. There have been programs that have come from the government and may come from the next government. But it's hard to know what programs can prevent, you know, these kinds of incidents, all kinds of discrimination. You know, this is a year, I think, when Canada is facing incidents that have caused people to question the kind of country we're in. The harassment of Asians, the recent news with the residential school graveyards. Of course, this event over the weekend, now very much in the spotlight today and going forward. Maybe there are some limits to what politicians can do on these matters.
Let me bring in Samir Majoub, the president of the Canadian Muslim Forum. Samir, obviously the country's grieving tonight. We understand the importance of the act of solidarity, and we understand the words, but what kind of action do you need to see right now?
Is it for me?
Samira, go ahead.
Yes, thank you so much. I'm sorry, I got a bit confused. The real action is, we strongly believe it is time to move from a good rhetoric to an actual and serious action. One of the elements is to name matters as is. Now, the reality is that we are facing domestic terrorism. It could be hardly accepted, but the sequence of events that we have is not the first time that we see such a terrible event. We have seen this in Quebec City 2017. We have seen this in Etobicoke in Toronto when an elder was just sitting down beside the mosque and he was slaughtered, literally speaking. And here we are witnessing a whole family is almost eliminated, having a young child remaining for the suffering all his life. So what we're looking for is a real move to actions, taking a decision that this is a domestic terrorism. This has to be looked completely differently. Security agencies to be much more observing what is being said and on social media, for example, and policies to be clearly dealt with. In other words, let me explain myself.
We're just losing your feed, unfortunately. And I just got Steph, I got about 20 seconds here. Does this change things politically, real quick? Steph?
It changes things for the Conservatives once again, because they'll be under renewed pressure given some of their previous comments on Islamophobia. Aaron O'Toole says he wants to build a party more Canadians see themselves in. This is the moment for him to really speak a bit more clearly on what that means when it comes to relations with the Muslim community.
All right, Steph Levitz. Samira, we apologize for the technical difficulty. Ian Bailey, I got to welcome you to Ottawa. Great to have you here, and we'll be seeing lots more of Ian, of course. Thank you for watching. Stay here. We will carry this vigil live at 7 p.m. Eastern, and we'll be back here in 23 short hours. Hug your loved ones. Have a great evening.